I call the Agriculture, Finance, and Policy Committee meeting to order on January 17th, 2023. We have a quorum, and we'll start with the approval of the minutes for January 12th, 2023. Vice Chair Purcell, may I have a motion?
So moved.
All right. Vice Chair Purcell moves the approval of the minutes for January 12th, 2023. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion prevails, and the minutes for January 12th, 2023 are approved. And before we get started, the committee would like to wish Representative Nelson happy birthday today.
Thank you.
Just remember next time to bring cupcakes so you get further, maybe a birthday song next. All right. So, and with that, we'll get started with today's agenda. Today we have presentation by the Office of Broadband Development, Executive Director Bree Mackey from the Office of Broadband Development. Thank you for being here today. Please introduce yourself before the committee and you may proceed.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and representatives. For the record, I'm Bree Mackey and I am the Executive Director of the Office of Broadband Development. I am honored and excited to be here with you all today at the House Agriculture, Finance, and Policy Committee. And just also for the record, I'm a greater Minnesota girl down in Winona County, and if you need a geographic location, you have a new member of your committee who I'm sure will help you with that. Mm-hmm. Thank you also for the opportunity today to share some background of the Office of Broadband Development, the programs that we administer, the progress that we have made, and also other opportunities we are partnering. In this presentation, I do welcome any clarifying questions you may have during the presentation itself, and I'm also happy to answer questions after my presentation and after the task force presentation as well. And I do have Devin here with me from Minnesota DEED who is also willing to jump in if I need some help as well. So with that, Madam Chair, I'm happy to jump right in.
Sounds good. Please proceed.
All right, so we do have some slides here, and you have your presentation in front of you. I just want to highlight a few things on the timeline. I don't need to go through them all, but just for reference, the office, the first broadband task force was created in 2008. So Minnesota has long been a leader in the broadband space. Jumping down a little bit, we did jump into some broadband goals in 2010, and those goals, believe it or not, were 10 to 5. The next area, the little bullet, is the Dayton Administration Broadband Task Force was created in 2011. And then the Infrastructure and Grant Program was created into law with $20 million appropriated in 2014. Again, to highlight a couple things in the next arrowed slide, we did renew the Border-to-Border Program in 2017 and appropriated $20 million as well in there. And then finally, to jump to the last area is we, in 2019, the Border-to-Border Grant Program had appropriations of $20 million in 2020. And then again in 2021, the Telecommuter Forward Program was introduced and Governor Wall's administration created his Governor Task Force on Broadband. And then finally in 2022, we did a record-setting broadband grant program announcement in December of almost $100 million. And those dollar amounts we'll talk about a little bit more where it impacted the state further in the slides. So the next slide, I just also want to give you a little bit of framework that we try to follow within the Office of Broadband Development. We have our statutory goals. We have the task force and that great partnership with members across the state. We do data-driven information and have long done mapping. And now in the infrastructure tools piece, we've added the digital equity. And again, I'll talk a little bit more of what that means for the state of Minnesota further on. Next is just to remind you of our speed goals. 2022, our goals were 25.3. And with that, we're looking ahead already and have been for a long time of the 2026 goals of 100 by 20. All right, in these next slides, I know the, again, kind of hard to see, but they are on our website, so I encourage you all to take a further look. But just sort of wanted to highlight that As of right now, we have done a great deal of progress serving Minnesota, but there's still a lot left to do. And so on this map, it just highlights that we still have about 98,000 homes without that access goal that we have for this year, and then looking again with the 2026 goals of where we need to meet those. And again, Teddy is going to help me a little bit further on and highlight sort of the collaboration that we have with the governor's task force. In the next two slides or one slide, it highlights the 25-3 goal. So that is on the left, and you can get more of a visual on that. And this is based on county data. And then to the right is the 100 by 20. So again, gives you a good visual across the state of where our unserved areas are. I just also want to quickly highlight that, you know, though we are at about 12% still unserved in the state of Minnesota, our greater Minnesota areas definitely are impacted more. About 81% of those numbers are really in greater Minnesota. All right, the next slide breaks down the same information, but this time it's by cities and townships. Again, you can see a little bit more of a visual based on the color outlines across the state. All right, next slide. Next slide just really talks about the programs that we have at the Office of Broadband Development. Traditionally, we have our border-to-border grant program, and that is the infrastructure program. This is what's highlighted across the nation. I'm always hearing, oh, you have that great program in Minnesota, and it is really something that the rest of our states look at. And that has been going on since 2014. This year, we did start our low population density pilot program, which is really a great program, knowing as we have listened to our providers and our communities across the state that our traditional border-to-border grant program, that is our 50% eligible cost share, is just not enough to get to those last most critically needed areas of the state. And so this takes into that account and tries to address those needs, and that is a 75% cost share up to $10 million per project. The next bullet there is a line extension program. Again, this is new this year. This can provide up to $25,000 in cost share to homeowners and businesses where that they can see the fiber going from the road, but it's not exactly to their home yet. And I just want to give a quick for instance on this and story that we heard through our office during the pandemic. In May of 2020, we had a family give a call to the office and express their concerns that they have two working adults at home trying to work, as well as two students. And they had the fiber line. It was there. They could see it. But it would cost them $2,000 to get to their door and actually be able to access that. And for that family, that just wasn't feasible. And so this is the type of program. This is the type of cost that a lot of these homes really need to just put them in the digital economy and really live wherever they live and be able to participate effectively in their healthcare, their learning, in the workforce. The next one is our digital equity work. And as I stated, this is somewhat new, though I want to believe that equity has always been a factor in the Office of Broadband because it's really about reaching an infrastructure for all people. And so this is really to catapult the next phases. This is a partnership with the NTIA, our federal government, to do our digital equity and our BEAD, which is infrastructure work that came out of the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. So we are doing that planning together in those two programs, and I'll give a little plug out with a little more information on that a little later. And then the Telecommuter Forward Program is a certification program. There is no funding to communities that wish to do this, but we do provide technical assistance and resources to communities who really want to bolster their community needs in the digital world, the digital economy. So they're excited about that program. Again, on our website, we have some mapping and some data across the state of communities who have really thrived in this area. And then we do have other federal programs that we leverage within the office and try to do the most we can in leveraging the federal dollars that are available and the resources across those programs. All right, so I talked a little bit about the Border to Border Grant Program. Again, this is an infrastructure program to really do this installing of the last miles and the middle miles across the state. Allowable expenses are final cost design, construction costs, permits, purchasing of needs and facilities, middle mile infrastructure and last mile infrastructure, installation, testing, and equipment. And then, again, I know I touched a little bit about this program, but we have had 6 out of 8 years since 2014 not including this last round and the RFP that's out there in funding. Again, the caps on that are $5 million per grant award with a 50% eligible cost. We at the office try to do geographically disbursements, and again, the speeds are listed there as well. And all technology that are implemented in these grants do need to be scalable at the 100 by 100. So, again, really excited. I came on board in October and was thrown into the mix of let's get some of these awards out there. And it was just under $100 million in grant funding. That is 61 projects across the state of Minnesota. We estimate that it will reach 33,000 homes and businesses. And 48 counties were awarded. So an incredibly huge disbursement and really excited to see these projects on the ground. For your awareness, we do have a challenge process within the office. So if providers put in an application, there is a way for other providers to challenge and say, well, we already provide service here, and we work through that. So we're really fortunate to have that balance within our office with the providers in our communities, making sure that we are using the state resources to the best of our ability. All right. Again, a little bit just more data about how much funding in the past many years, how many homes and businesses it served, and institutions as well. And the map is color coordinated based on the years. And then again, I just talked a little bit about the $99 million in this latest round. And so I don't know that I need to continue to go into details on that. But in the next slide, I do want to just say that our next round of grant funding is out on our website. That's, $67 million. And so providers are already getting to work, putting together the next round of applications, and we hope to award that next round probably at the end of summer. All right, again, I did talk a little bit about the line extension. It's $15 million used from our capital projects fund money. This is new this last fall in this grant round. It's a revolving application process. We'll review those every 6 months. They will go out to our broadband providers at that point to a list of addressees, and then they have 10 days to notify us at the Office of Broadband Development as whether they can provide that service to that line extension or not. If they are unable to provide that service, then we will do a 60-day reverse auction and open it up to other providers. And then we'll be awarding the line extension agreements to the winning bidders, and then they have a year within that contract date. And again, we do require that they do offer the speeds of at least 100 by 100. And I talked a little bit about the Telecommuter Forward Certificate Program. Again, we provide model resolution for templates, technical assistance, and any other needs that a community would have as they're troubleshooting, making sure that they're growing their capacity in their communities. And finally, I talked a little bit about a couple of the federal programs we're working on right now, but we did have the Capital Projects Fund where we designated funding in the state for programs. And then as I talked a little bit about our BEAD, so it's Broadband Equity Access and Deployment, so you're going to hear this catchword BEAD a lot, and I apologize for the acronyms. And then our digital equity work, and those are both out of the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. And a shameless plug, as I stated, here it is. For those of you who are not already know about this, we hope that you would consider joining. It is virtual as well. You share with your community, share with your staff. But what this really is in partnership with NTIA, the National Telecommunication Information Association, and us, as we're working together along with our other partners, the Association of Minnesota Counties, League of Minnesota Cities, and our Minnesota Association of Township, of really making sure that these planning of our BEAD and our digital equity is a Minnesota-based plan. We're here to facilitate that at the Office of Broadband Development. NTIA is there to help us really with the technical assistance. But at the end of the day, this is Minnesota's plan and how we will achieve 100% of our goals and everybody covered in the future. We have some wonderful speakers, professional speakers across, not professional, but professional in their industries from across the state joining us, as well as the governor's task force giving us a background of the work that has been done through their work over the many years, and really trying to make sure our housing authority, our healthcare authorities, our social services industries, everybody's voice is heard in this planning because they're the experts on the needs that are still out there and how can we meet those needs. So consider joining. The registration is on our website. There is no cost. Lunch will be included, and we're just really appreciative for that opportunity. And with that, here's some more information about how to contact me, how to contact our office. And I know I went through that really, really fast, but wanted to be respectful of your time and also give Teddy plenty of time to share the work that they have been doing over the past year as well. So with that, Madam Chair, I'll open it up for whatever questions.
Thank you, Executive Director Maki, for your presentation. Appreciate you guys being here. Broadband is not new to Ag and to Minnesota, but it's definitely a new jurisdiction within the Ag Committee. So thank you for providing that high-level overview. I think my first question will be if you can talk about the border-to-border grants and see if you guys were able to leverage federal funds, and how did you guys use that in order to leverage the funding that the state gave you guys?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think, I probably didn't highlight in the slides enough, but the line extension program was $15 million in the capital projects fund that was allocated, and then the low density pilot program was $30 million, and both of those were out of that federal funding. When it comes to our traditional border to border in the past, it really has been state appropriation dollar amounts. But moving towards the future with the BEAD funding, that is an opportunity to leverage more. And I think what I've been hearing so far is the federal dollar amounts in the infrastructure can be used up to 75% cost share. And we have made adaptions in the state of Minnesota specifically to those programs. But in our traditional border-to-border program, it would still be 50% up to the $5 million unless Minnesota prioritizes changing that. But otherwise, we would currently leveraged that federal dollar amount and would continue to. And really, we don't know what that allocation is yet. Each state has been told they are getting $100 million after our process of planning, the mapping accuracy is all done, et cetera. But really, until we have our full plan, our infrastructure plan together, and the FCC mapping comes out, we don't know our final allocation that we'll be able to leverage from the federal government.
We have a question from the committee, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a couple of questions to ask. First of all, you've kind of answered this. Most of our grants so far have been the one-to-one 50-50. This takes special legislation to boost that up to 75%.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, yes. As of right now, the border-to-border grant programs is the way that it is designed is through legislation. So in order to adapt our traditional broadband program, border-to-border program, it would need change in statute, yes.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of questions on some of your specific programs. I was reading the line extension program is designed for unserved residents. So I assume they don't have any ability to go online to register. How do they know about this, and how can they register if they don't have any access to internet?
Executive Director.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, that's a really great question. I appreciate that. So I do want to let you know, yes, the program, you can go online. We also accept paper applications, as well as we have tried to put it out there on our in our media, paper, et cetera. We have tried to really also work with other associations, organizations across the state. I will be honest with you, this past month I've really been focusing on getting that FCC mapping challenge information out there, but this is high up priority on our list, and we have been really trying to get that information out there. I believe the number at the end of 2022, we had 545 applicants from across the state. So we are really fortunate that we have advocates in many sectors across our state of Minnesota that have also been pushing that out, having those conversations with their communities as well. So we would love to see more, and we'll continue. And just also know that there is no deadline. We'll review it every 6 months and continue to adapt how we get the information out there. And we'll be able to also tell geographically, like, where are we missing? Where is the information not getting out there?
Representative Anderson.
Thanks again, Madam Chair. In the program, the Digital Equity Program, one of the criteria is that all residents would have access to Thrive. Now, to me, Thrive is kind of a subjective term. And how do you determine if somebody's going to thrive or not thrive based on their ability to be online?
Executive Director Maki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, another really important question. So digital equity to me, and the philosophy that I hope I carry, is not only having the infrastructure but the house and the access, the equipment, all of those things. And so I think when we look at this piece, Thrive does mean a lot of different things to a lot of people. We are really in the planning stage right now of that and what that means. So I certainly can't answer for the state. But just know that that's where we really need to bring everybody together to have the conversations of what that means to each area. It means that people are able to access telehealth. They're able to access education, workforce, all of those things. And I also just want to say that because it is a federal program that we're really partnering with, you know, within our, even DEED in our office, there are so many ways that we can partner with our workforce teams that are doing the work of doing the education. And so I, you know, like everybody, workforces can be challenging, and we're all really busy, so why recreate the wheel, per se? But just looking and taking time to reflect, do the planning, so that we can make sure that what Thrive means to everyone is being attained.
Representative Anderson?
Thanks for your indulgence, Madam Chair. Just one more question. This is kind of on a 30,000-foot level. you just allocated $100 million, and now there's another $67 million going to be allocated. And we're all facing inflation and difficulty accessing equipment, things like that. Just how much can the industry handle in terms of, now the first round, I think they have 2 years to complete those projects. Now you've got another round coming out. Can they handle that much activity that fast and yet do it in a way that's efficient?
Is that Director Mucky?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. So I think, again, one of the beauties of Minnesota is we have long been doing this work. We have incredible providers across the state who have been doing those plannings. When an RFP comes out from our office, that isn't where it starts for any of our providers. And again, I'm speaking for them. But they have long been working with communities so that they are ready when those application periods come out. I do know that they are strapped with some supply chain issues, but again, they have been doing planning ahead as best as they can, as well as the workforce. So I think that they all stand ready. They know the goals. They want to be involved, you know, and I think there's just a really strong desire to get the work done. And so, again, I can't speak specifically for any individual ones, but what I'm hearing is they are stand ready and willing to partner on this and get Minnesotans where they need to go. And so I have also heard the supply chain is sort of loosening up a little bit, so hopeful there. But they do plan ahead, and a lot of them do have the materials they need, at least for the next coming year, the grant applications.
Representative Anderson?
No.
All right. Representative Purcell?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Director Mucky, I wonder if you have some specific examples or you have data about it might be the line extension program specifically serving manufactured home communities in Minnesota.
Director Mucky?
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. I do not have that. That is something we can certainly follow up on. I will just say that we are acutely aware of the importance of the FCC mapping and correct mapping to address our multi-unit dwellings as well as areas in those mobile home parks as well. So we are critically aware of that, and we know that that is an area that needs definitely coverage. I'm excited for them to hopefully be involved in these conversations as we're heading in this next week into the kickoff meeting and then long as we're doing the planning. But I specifically don't have those data points today, but we'll follow up.
All right, Representative Purcell?
Is there a plan specifically for outreach to park owners or just curious about the how we reach these folks, as Representative Anderson mentioned, if they're not able to connect easily to the web yet. So curious about an outreach strategy.
Mm-hmm. Director Mucky?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. Again, we are very happy and we have taken many field phone calls from our office to even help input applications. Happy to do that. We continue to do that. I'm just really, truly blessed for the staff that I have that are so committed to making sure that everybody gets the service that they need to thrive. I will say I don't have a specific outreach plan specific to that, but just know how important that is to the planning process. Also, as part of the agenda, we did incorporate our housing authorities into the conversations, one of which is one of our CAP agencies will be on one of the panels who works very closely with housing in one of our regions, a little bit more north, southeast area. And so I think that she will bring a lot of value to those conversations. And, I mean, they're serving units of 4 and up to 100. And so having those perspectives that she can share with us and we can really start that engagement a little bit more thoroughly is really an exciting part of this kickoff meeting and the work that we are doing.
Representative Purcell? Representative Jacob.
Thank you, Chair Vang. Director Mucky. So I think you mentioned 545 applications. So my question is, how are applications prioritized? And how would my local units of government in my district know whether they're making a good application that would be prioritized?
Director Maki?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Jacob. So I didn't probably clarify this well enough, but just for noting, the line extension program, individual landowners and businesses can register themselves. I would strongly encourage your communities, your engagement, working with, housing authorities, your auditor would be a great place to continue to do that outreach. But really, this is an individual registration opportunity for a landowner to go in and register that. At that point, every 6 months, we'll do that review and then send it out to all the providers that we have listed in those areas that either say they can provide service or have service. And I don't want to say challenge them, but say, hey, are you able to do these goals? If they're able to, then they would move forward with the grant process. And if they already have them, then we'll navigate and have those conversations with individual landowners and making sure they have the resources and the information needed to be able to access the resources that may already be there. But it really... and then from that point, if it is where that we do have an opportunity to do the grant, then we'll move forward with that with the provider. So, really need to get that out there, and I really understand that. But also, all of you are great ambassadors to this program and sharing with your communities when you're in your districts.
Representative Jacob?
Thank you.
Representative Nelson?
Thank you. And Director Maki, I'm wondering, as we see, broadband being built out in rural Minnesota, that's kind of one of the biggest areas that have the most underserved. And, sometimes that last mile is a very long mile and sometimes a very expensive mile to do. And, kind of looking at that, sometimes I think satellite is probably a better option for some areas. But at the same time, when we look at like the low Earth orbit satellite, sometimes there's a waiting list for that. And is it reasonable to have a prioritized service? So if maybe I'm in an area that could hook up to broadband, but I decided that I wanted a satellite service instead, but yet that ends up someone else may not be able to, because it's a limited on satellite service. Someone else may be further down the list and not be able to have any options. And so I'm wondering, is there any ability to kind of prioritize of options on, and at the same time, it's a free market, so you can put your name on any list you want, part of it. So is there any way that we can help with that to ensure that everybody gets adequate service or, of sorts?
Director Maki?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative. So I do just want to point out that, at the Office of Broadband, we do try to be technology neutral. And understanding that the state of Minnesota is an incredibly huge, diverse state. We have karst topography, we have, prairie lands, all of those things. So we do need to sort of look at all technologies as a basis. I think, we certainly at the office way long before me, but really do value the solid infrastructure that will meet the goals and challenges moving forward. So though there is, I have fixed wireless at my home. I'm fortunate I live up on a ridge and have great service. It doesn't work for everybody in the long term. And so I think we're always looking at that and how can we at least, meet the needs short term. But we also want to be cognizant of taxpayer money and making sure it's being spent well and long last a short-term technology fix for a short term. So it's really a balancing act there.
Representative Nelson? Representative Hansen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Purcell took my question a little bit. I was going to ask, and I have my glasses on and I'm looking in the metro area trying to look for my district there, and knowing that there were mobile home parks and apartments of the working poor and public housing, how do you reach them? I mean, I And I travel in greater Minnesota. I know, you know, I think it was some federal money for broadband that went in southeast Minnesota, and I watched the trencher go by and provide service to Amish households, which are never going to use it. You know, I just look at how do we make sure everybody is being served. Now, that doesn't mean they were taking it to the house, but they were stopping at every building site because it would count as a residence and having the node there. So when I look at a mobile home park with maybe 75-year-old mobile homes there, how do they, many of whom have no connection into a lobby or local government, how do they get broadband? How does that work? And is there a way of incorporating into with the housing committee that you build it in when you're building new housing so that it's there, so we're not having to install it after we built it? You know, there could be some ways, and maybe this is something with the capital investment committee too, is how do we kind of one-stop shop this so that it's in there when we're providing that investment?
Director Maki.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative. I think you bring up really important points. Again, I'll go back. I think this is a moment with our FCC mapping and making sure that those are accurate, because we do know the multi-unit dwellings, if one out of 75 is served, it's served, which is really unfortunate. And so Minnesota, we do have an internal mapping process that we are reviewing, and then we also have a vendor that we're also doing work with as well. And I think this is just another point of making sure that other technologies are available in these processes, just to make sure that, you know, we are being thoughtful on how we get the service out there. Also, I think knowing that as new infrastructure is being built, there's always this conversation, catchphrase, build once, but really taking a deeper look into those and hopeful that our outreach and our conversations with our housing organizations, our builders, communities, that we're thinking forward on those areas. So I really appreciate that. I think there's an opportunity for other committees to understand and think through that, and I'm always happy to have those conversations.
Representative Hansen. Seeing no further questions, thank you so much, Director Maki, and for your testifiers for being here today and presenting before us. Thank you. Next we have is an overview of the Governor's Broadband Task Force Annual Report. Teddy Bekele, Chair of the Governor's Task Force on Broadband. Is he?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, awesome. Thank you for being here today. Please identify yourself before the committee and you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good afternoon, esteemed members of this committee. My name is Teddy Bekele. I'm the Chief Technology Officer at Land O'Lakes, but I also serve as the Chair of the Governor's Task Force on Broadband. I'm closing in on the third year, or close the third year, on the fourth year now of being the Chair of this task force, which has been in place long before I was here as well. I am fortunate to have 14 other individuals on this task force with me as well. We meet on a monthly basis, and what we normally do is we look at presentations from experts. We have folks from different healthcare divisions, folks that work on broadband every day, farmers that come and sort of tell us how they use technology every single day. But on the committee, it's on the task force itself, we actually have a lot of expertise. There are folks that are from the telecom industry, that actually implement broadband on a regular basis, electric co-op providers, members from the healthcare space as well, about educating us how they're using telehealth and those kind of capabilities. So, again, we've taken quite a bit of time to understand sort of the needs of broadband for the state of Minnesota, and we publish an annual report that comes out, which was also included in your packet. Now, I'm not going to go through the details of that report, but I'll give you the high-level points of that. So starting out, where we really focus our attention is on the recommendations themselves. And our first recommendation is really around the funding, right? And I think there were some questions on this one that just came up. And what I would encourage you to do is in the report, there is a table that shows you in the question of, well, how much more do we have left. And The latest report showed us that there was about 291,000 households that still don't have the goal of the 2026 goal, which is the 100 megabits per second download and 20 megabits per second upload. So in order to close that gap, if you actually go to the next slide, there is that table. I'm not going to go through the table, but there's an estimated cost per pass to be able to deploy it, which has been estimated by some of these experts that could change at any point in time. That kind of gives you the total amount of what it should be to close sort of the gap altogether. What we've also done as a group was also try to look at the federal funds and where are the federal funds coming and what could that be. Now, this is a complete estimate, right, because we don't know what that's going to look like yet. And so when that comes, that numbers will change. But you will see that even with that, which is close to $1 billion, at least the estimate that we have, we still have quite a bit to go. So the state funds are still required to be able to close that gap, especially in those harder to get to areas. A couple other recommendations the task force had is obviously some of them came up in the discussion just a second ago, is we are getting to the harder to reach areas in some cases. And so that there are some policy changes probably required around the funding up to 50%. There's some areas it won't pencil out unless you go up to 75%. So those will have to be taken looked at, as well as some of the caps that are in place. So our report really kind of goes through and tries to explain where we may need the additional help to be able to close this gap. The other thing you'll find in the report as well is broadband is never a one-and-done type deal. So we had that 25-by-3 goal for 2022, which we got close but not completely finished. We have the 100-by-20 goal in 2026. But now, as you all know, the speeds are going up, right? The technology is moving at a rapid pace. Whether you're in an urban area or rural area, you know, getting to that 1 gigabit is probably where it's going to go. So this is a never-ending story, right? It's going to keep going and going and going. So keeping an eye on this is very critical, as businesses will heavily rely on this in the future. Okay. If we go to the next slide, one of the areas that we track very closely is also the mapping. The state of Minnesota does its mapping, but the FCC has put in place their sort of a new mapping capability, and that was released in November-December timeframe last year. But that's not super accurate. So there's work required to make sure that those maps get to be accurate, because the infrastructure dollars that come from the federal side will be based on those maps. So there's sort of this challenge process where anybody can go in and say, look, it looks like I have availability of broadband, but there's no broadband in my area. So that will have to be submitted back to the FCC so they can update their map, they can verify it, and then update the maps, and then broadband providers are able now to submit the ability to serve those areas. So citizens of Minnesota will need help with this process as well. It's not the simple thing. So one of the things we do recommend is that the Office of Broadband Development can help with this task and with this work. So that's really something that we think is very important going forward. Okay. A couple other conversations came up on the next pieces around affordability. Again, there are programs in place for those who are not able to afford broadband, but yet it's critical for their day-to-day needs. There are programs you can apply for, but you have to know that you can apply for them and you qualify for them, et cetera. So making those programs known is super important. We think something that needs to continue. I think one of the things also that was asked is how would somebody that doesn't have internet at their home ever even know that there's a program or there's availability to get to it? Well, a couple of examples that we saw throughout the year was there are community leaders, and there's specifically even a program called the American Connection Program, and within it a module actually called the American Connection Corps, where there are some individuals that are in these communities that could be funded to actually get the word out in those local communities. They do lots of things. They go out and they could even knock on doors, do speed tests, make sure the maps are properly updated, as well as help not only the citizens in that community, but also the providers themselves on how to put together a request for funding to be able to apply for these things. And maybe there's a combination of different programs that be put together to serve that township or that county. So helping or maybe funding some of these leaders that are in these communities could be a really good way to be able to close that gap. Same goes on the adoption side of it. Again, now the broadband is available, and let's say even with the line extension, it's at the door. Does somebody know actually how to properly utilize broadband and what to do with it? So I'll give an example around healthcare. Do you know that instead of having to drive 60 miles to the clinic, you can actually get in touch with a doctor or dermatologist through a telehealth visit before you even get to the clinic. So that's one of the big benefits to be able to do things like that. Or from an educational standpoint, one of the things we do know is that Minnesota actually ranks really high on the broadband and some other things, but when it comes to computer science, for example, it's one of the lowest in the country. So is there a way for students to be able to get access to advanced computer science classes by being able to leverage broadband at their home? But how do you do that is you have to put sort of the whole program in place for that piece of it. So this idea of increasing digital navigation, the Department of Education having the resources and the ability to be able to put programs like this, we feel is pretty critical. So those are sort of the big pieces of the recommendation. Again, the biggest one is around the funding aspect of it, and then obviously everything else that goes from funding. So once you have the funding, you can put the infrastructure in place. Once you have that in place, well, how do you make sure that folks are taking advantage of it and they're making the best use of it? So that's sort of how the broadband task force thought about this. But it's been a pleasure to work with those individuals. There's some folks that have really, really good knowledge of a lot of different things, even to the question that came up around different technologies. We've actually had providers from both the satellite area or explain us a little bit about fixed wireless and how that works have all been critical to be able to form some of the recommendations that have been put into this report. So with that, I want to thank you for your time and having me here and open up to any questions you might have for me.
Thank you, Teddy Bekele, for your introduction and presentation. I think my first question is, can you go a little bit more detail about what the membership looks like on the task force?
Yeah, so the membership on the task force, that's obviously they're all volunteers that submit, say, I'm interested in broadband and serving on the task force committee. The selection of the members of the task force is done by the governor's office. So all the applications go there, they review the applications, and the governor's office try to put together a membership that has different expertise, right? So to make sure that folks that have, you know, different areas that they can contribute to the conversation, as well as in putting together some of these recommendations. And then once they get approved, then they're on the task force.
Okay. Any Representative Federick?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's been a lot of discussion about that 50% cap to be able to spread our network around the state of Minnesota but also part of the discussion is that it doesn't necessarily go far enough, that some communities, some locations need more funding. I'm just curious if anybody has a number of what it would, like what would be the cost to be able to go that last distance if we were going to fund it as a state or help, I guess, if we're doing 75% or whatever it happens to be.
Chair McKinley?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative. We do have, so it's a hard number to come to, right? Because some cases it could be 60% is good enough, some other cases 75%. So one of the things we're recommending is to give latitude to the Office of Broadband Development to prioritize as these applications come in and be able to really look to see why would you ask for the 75% match? Like what is it about the terrain or what is it about the households in that area that really doesn't would need additional funding? And so I think more so than what is the amount or the percentage, it's more like giving them sort of a framework to be able to say, here's the framework you can work through and how you prioritize some of these projects as they come in.
Representative Federick? Any further questions from the committee? Representative Anderson?
Thanks again, Madam Chair. You know, I'm wondering if we're past kind of what I'd call a turf war battles, you know, years ago, especially maybe out in greater Minnesota, if a major carrier had the telephone service, it was kind of like their area. And if they chose, for whatever reason, not to go ahead with broadband, a neighboring phone company couldn't go in there for a couple of years, I think, to provide service. Have those things kind of ended, and is it kind of open territory for whomever wants to go where in terms of providing service?
Chair Bekele?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative. I'll turn it over to Director Maki for that one.
Yeah, Director Maki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, so I would just say, again, I think Minnesota is so unique in that collaboration. I mean, we have cooperatives that are working together with providers. I mean, my broadband down in southeast Minnesota is working in, with Harmony Telephone. So there is those collaborations and conversations, as well as in northeast Minnesota, where the service cooperative up there, the education, the Northeast Service Cooperative Education, does broadband. And so we're really unique in the state that it does take all to work together and to meet the needs of the communities. And that uniqueness makes us, I think, really strong. And I also do believe, and I'm just speaking for what I see when I'm out there talking to our telecoms and our cable associations and our associations, they all have the similar mission of getting the work done, and they are cross-talking and having those conversations. So I like to believe that you're absolutely right, that sort of those barriers come down. Is there still opportunity for competitive markets? Absolutely, as there should be. But I do think, again, Minnesota just puts the residents first and are working to achieve those. And where they have the strengths, they step up, and where they need a little help, they work together.
Representative Anderson? Any further questions from the committee? All right. Well, we are very efficient today. Thank you so much for testifying, coming before us. If members, the handouts, the presentation is posted on the website, so if you would like further reference, that is on there. And so with that, thank you so much. And our next meeting is Thursday, January 19th, 2023. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.